Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today, we're going to be talking about taking authority for your life, taking responsibility for your life, the difference between responsibility and fault and authority, and the difference between how we're shifting different time frames, whether we're looking at the past or looking at the future. And I'll address that briefly, and then I'm going to open the hot seat for whoever would like to join me to be solving your challenges tonight, whether they're related to authority and responsibility for your life or not. Doesn't matter. What are you working with today? That will be the question. So let's start with this concept of taking authority for your life or taking responsibility for your life. And when people say this word, responsibility, take responsibility for your life, take responsibility for your choices, a lot of times we can think that responsibility means fault. And I think it was actually Will Smith put this really succinctly and really beautifully. Something may happen in your world which is not your fault, did not derive from a choice that you made, and yet now the results of that are your responsibility. It landed in your lap, maybe unjustly, maybe justly. And then, of course, there's the sense of responsibility for choices you've made, right? So some things that go on in your life were your creation, or you were part of creating those situations, good and bad. And some things that go on in your life, maybe you weren't a part of creating those situations, good or bad. But regardless, you are then responsible for how it affects your life. So when we use the word fault, we're looking backwards in time. We're looking in the past, right? This happened. Whose fault was it? And I'm so excited that guests will be joining me today. So let me go through this real quick, line up for the hot seat, and we're going to be solving your challenges tonight. So fault is looking in the past. Who did this? How did it come to this? What happened looking back? Responsibility is about the present. This is now my situation. And authority is about the future. I take authority to do something about it. And so therein lies the difference. So here tonight, I want to encourage everybody to take authority for your life, which is really a focus on the future. And let's see who we have joining us in the hot seat tonight, solving your challenges. Welcome, friend. How can I help?
Well, I am here as the unofficial welcome wagon for wisdom.
Fantastic.
I want to give you some flowers and some encouragement that you are awesome.
Well, thank you.
And listen, I heard, you know, the cadence of what you are teaching, and I would like to offer myself up as a poster child for coming out on the other end, because the guy I was last week is not the guy that's speaking to you now.
Yes.
And when we run out of patience, everything else that's good follows soon after. And the lens from which you see the world through angry eyes is like wearing a pair of red glasses. And, you know, when people even try to pour into you, you know, it felt like a gang up. And the more they tried to hug me, felt like they're trying to suffocate me. And wow.
Wow. Yes.
And, you know, my wife of all people, you know, a brand new mother of 37 days, you know,
who
I knew was, you know, like genetically predisposed to postpartum, right?
Yeah.
I knew all that. We had a deal that I was going to take off the first two trimesters and be present from the third onwards. Well, I'm in startup mode, right? So 6 months stretch into 9 months. And, I finally put a hard stop, days prior, and I was there fully present. We spent 7 days under blue lights. So out of that 7 days, 12 hours, I needed to take a leave to address a problem that was brewing in my absence. But aside from that 12 hours, I was fully there. And as a papa bear, after we came home, I turned into a grizzly papa bear intentionally, right? Intentionally, because I wanted to scare away all the bad actors. And the more progress I thought I was making, the more I realized, I didn't realize I was running out of patience. And when I got to that tipping point where everything good that was left, the only thing that's left is one thing, So as that guy, I did a lot of damage, And I thought I was intentional, right? Because throughout this journey, I used to be a narcissist. I used to be a proud narcissist, right? And then my guardian angel, landed and took that badge away from me, and he gave me a black badge, right? And remember back in the day, we had those mood rings or symbols that you put your finger over and you don't know what's underneath.
Right.
Yeah. So when I got hot, what it said underneath that blackness was bully, right? So my narcissist badge, was exchanged for a bully badge, but as that bully, I broke a lot of hearts and scared a lot of people that didn't deserve it, even though I gave them fair warning that this is who I am right now. Stay away, And people don't listen, I felt like, that's their fault for not listening. But, it's one thing.
It's
human, like I said, when patience is gone, empathy is gone, and understanding is gone. And, so we can be rigid in our thinking, as adults, we need to be dynamic and compromising, even today, right? One of the bad actors I had chased away gave me an order today. And I wasn't going to comply, because he told me that I had to unblock my phone in order for me to talk to him, right? And so he hung up the phone. And I had no intention of calling him back. But then who's the loser here? I can't forward, I can't mend this bridge if I don't talk to him. So I unblocked my phone and I called. And then after the phone was done, then I blocked my number again, because I wasn't going to allow him to bully me. But then holding that position, who's losing? Not him, So.
Well, it might depend on why. So this is such an important topic, right? Your new father, congratulations. That's life-changing and will be such a set of lessons and reflections for you, all unique, just for you. So the anger, right? You feel protective and you feel anger. Anger is what fear looks like in public. So it can help. Now, sometimes people are truly toxic and you do need to edit them out. Sometimes we're just afraid. Sometimes it's okay. Am I protecting myself, which is important, and protecting my child and protecting my wife? Am I afraid of something, and am I bringing that anger home, and what am I afraid of? And so is any of it fear, or is it all coming from protection?
It was all protection, but in my implementation, I was bullying her, right? And that's not right. That's not acceptable.
No.
Right? And
right.
And so all the anxiety that became hyper accelerated, well, that was my own doing, you know. And while I was telling her she's experiencing anxiety, I failed to be cognizant of the fact. Well, you know, I knew that I was doing it, honestly. But when I grew up, the way I learned to cope growing up is suck it up, buttercup, you know?
Right. And yeah.
while that was good for me, how could I, just because I thought that was a grown-up way of dealing with things, I'm a male and she's not, you know? So how could I expect, you know, a male tactic to work on, you know? No, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's some things that work for everyone, but that's not a strategy I can expect of an emotional creature.
Well, and you make a good point, right? So in our society, we're brought up where masculine means certain things that tend to edge more towards anger, the grizzly bear. And it's missing an important component where divine masculine, and this is fascinating, divine masculine can be a holding space, a protecting and holding this container of space that is your home, so that she feels that she can come in and openly express whatever, be emotional, get it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can ask her an important question, which is, do you want me to fix this, or do you just want me to hear you?
Thank you. That is wonderful.
Because sometimes divine feminine, and it can help to think of her that way, right? She the mother of your child. How beautiful. She's a goddess. She is your divine feminine. She's your Shakti, you know, and. Mm-hmm. And you know, wow, what does she need? Well, maybe sometimes she just wants to vent, especially as a parent. It's tough, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes can I there isn't any fixing. Yeah.
So one of the because, like, listen, I don't like conflict, especially when it's close to home. Like, home was supposed to be my safe space. And because I felt like she was injuring my mental health, my energy, she was throwing me off, you know, because I was blaming her for all these things. I was trying to come up with strategies that we could coexist without them happening. And the strategy that I came up with is for her to not to speak. And I didn't mean, like,
how'd that work out for you?
Didn't help at all. And I didn't mean like don't speak at all. I just meant, like, anything outside of the baby, you know, and us being a couple. And, you know, like, I just wanted us to focus on us being us. And anything outside of that, I'll handle it. Don't worry about it. I know, I'll handle it.
Mm.
But, you know, when the roles, you know, hunter-gatherer, you know, versus, you know, like, that's not right. Hunter versus gatherer is that as a hunter, you know, we need to be out there. And as a gatherer, it's about gathering security, you know, and so security is her wheelhouse and risk is mine. And, you know, when all she, you know, with her primary objective being security, it wasn't good enough for me to just say, don't worry about it, you know, because that's part of her, you know, role as CEO of security is to worry about it. You know, so I didn't see the contradiction, you know, in coming up with that strategy.
Right.
That's the thing about the red glasses, right? When you're in that mode, you know, it can be likened to survival mode, right? Because when you're in survival mode, you know, you don't see options. You just see what's in front of you. You know?
Right. Well, and there's nothing like a newborn to really throw a house into everybody in high stress. Nobody's sleeping all that much. Amplify all of that.
And there's three more layers to that. Right. So in addition to that, I'm in startup mode. In addition to that, she is an ICU nurse, you know, from Saudi, like one of the most advanced hospitals in the world. You know, that's the ICU that she head ICU nurse, you know, in certain seasons, but assistant head nurse otherwise. And And so with all that credential, she only in my province could she not get on an honorary license, you know? So, right. So with all that hoops that she had to go through and timelines of her critical care, you know, being valid, she started university the day after pregnancy. While we're in the hospital, she's starting university. And so there's that, there's being a new immigrant, you know, all of her circles on the other side of the world. And right. In addition to all that, when we came back to Canada, my dad was stuck here, you know, for COVID. So we inherited an 80-year-old baby, you know, from the onset.
That is so stressful. That is stressful on a young couple with a baby coming in. I want to give you, and we've got just a couple minutes left on the timer. I want to give you some beautiful secrets that you're going to enjoy for the rest of your long and illustrious marriage to this amazing woman.
Okay.
So thanks. when you're in that, just a couple techniques to try to use that can be so wonderful, and she'll learn them inadvertently from you. Don't try to teach it. Just let her pick it up. Okay. Sure. So when things are stressful, it's a high stress situation, new situations, or just any old day, she seems emotional. So you sort of imagine that you're protecting the room so that she can be whatever she needs to be. And you ask her the following questions. Babe, tell me what you're going through. This is stage two experiences. So you allow her to speak about what she's experiencing, just to recount it, just to let you know, so you can imagine what she's experiencing, whatever that is, right? So tell me what you're going through. And then you walk her to stage three, which is needs, by asking the second question is, what do you need?
Okay.
And that'll make her pause and go, wait a minute, what do I need? What do I need? Let her pause. Don't say a word. Let her think. Don't try to put words in her mouth. Just wait. Let her think about it.
That's one of the things I learned, you know, to do is to not say too much in one sentence. I was overloading her, right?
And so what you'll find is when you give her a moment to focus on what she needs, she'll come back and tell you what she needs. And then you're ready. You know, I can feel it. You're ready to be the provider of whatever she needs. So she might say, well, I just need a hug, or, you know, I just need someone to understand. And then you can just go, this parenting thing is hard, or, you know, or whatever it is. Yeah, it's tough. Or I need you to help me fix it. Well, let me come up with some ideas. Uh-huh. So it helps you understand how to respond to her. But just the fact that you ask, tell me what you're going through, and let her talk, and then go, now tell me what you need.
I love you. I love you very
much. Yes.
Because, you know, like, because that's my job as provider, is to come up with solutions and strategies more often. And that was part of the frustration, not seeing them through because she didn't want them. Right. So if I ask her specifically, what does she want me to fix? I won't have to spend extra energy doing.
Yes. And our timer went off. But so let me say a few remarks on that one. Thank you so much for joining me. That was awesome. Right. So let's talk about that strategy for loving couples out there. Because every couple goes through stressful times. A newborn is a fantastic example of a stressful time, also with an elderly parent. Or grandparent, and added stress, any times of change, any time of chaos, any time like that. And that can change, and chaos can look like a lot of different things, especially in this day and age. I'm seeing this a lot over the last couple of years. So to get back to that loving conversation, that connected loving conversation between two people, is to hold space for each other. So that these two critical questions, and let's go over them again, because this is so important. The first one is, what are you going through? Or you can phrase that however you like. You're asking them to tell you what they're experiencing. Maybe it was just a bad day at work and they just kind of need to tell you about the experience. Or maybe they have a problem and they're looking for your help on it. They need to tell you about what they're experiencing. So what are you going through, or what are you experiencing? And then you just let them tell you. And then this is a really important question. Don't assume that you have to fix it or that it's for you to fix. Sometimes people just want somebody to listen, or maybe they need something else. So it can be really great to just ask the second critical question, which is, what do you need? Now, remember, that's not what do you need fixed or what do you need me to do, but a much more generic question of what do you need? And what this does is, number one, it makes it very clear to your partner or to your friend or to your parent, whoever, that you want to have this connected and compassionate relationship with. When you say, what do you need? It's saying, number one, that you care what they need. Two, that you really actually want to know. And three, you might be here to provide it. You might be able to provide what they need, depending on what they need. And you can even use this with children. And it teaches them quite inadvertently that what they need matters, and to pause for a moment and think about what you need. And we should all do this periodically, right? If you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling emotional, if your emotions are trying to get your attention through their intensity, it can be really helpful to pause for a minute and go, what am I experiencing? Wow, I've got a lot of anger, or I have a lot of fear, or I have a lot of whatever. Okay, what do I need? Because a lot of times what happens is needs go unmet because we just don't know what they are. You know, we didn't know we had a need, right? It may be obvious that we have certain needs. Maybe it's, oh, I need sleep. Well, I know I need sleep, and I'll be grumpy if I don't get sleep. But some needs are not so obvious. The need to feel like a good parent, the need to feel like an accomplished professional, the need to figure, you could have all kinds of complex needs. Or maybe you just need a hug, or maybe you just need someone to listen. Maybe you need some food. maybe you need better nutrition, or who knows what. But it teaches all of us, not only the person asking the question, but the person receiving questions, what do you need? It teaches us to pause for a minute and figure out what we need, and then to express what we need. So when you ask your partner, tell me what you're going through, then they get a chance to kind of get it out and share. And sometimes that's enough. And then they'll just go, oh man, I feel so much better. Thank you. But if they still feel emotional, then you go, what do you need? Right? And careful of your tone when you say it, right? You don't want to come off as, what do you need? You know, no. What do you need? Like, you really give a crap what they need, because you do, because you love them. And wait, because they may actually have to stop and think about it. The more they have to stop and think about it, the more they need practice stopping and thinking about what they need. And we all, I've noticed, kind of do need practice stopping and thinking about what we need. So just wait. Don't try to guess what they need. You know, let them think about it. And this is so great, because these two questions work with anybody. I don't care who it is, how old they are. You can work with this with a 3-year-old to an 103-year-old. But especially busy parents, it's really helpful to kind of make yourself stop and think about this. What do we need? And the answer may be quite surprising to you. The answer could be, oh, nothing. I think I just had to get that out. Or I need love. I need, you know, a glass of water. I need time to go work out. I need, you know, whatever. And then you can do what you can to help support that need being fulfilled. Sometimes the answer is, I do need your help to fix it. And sometimes that's not the answer, but what a fantastic call. So that was a beautiful example of how new babies bring such complexity and so many lessons for us in our relationships to each other. Look how this child is teaching them already. And they just got here. So it'll be lifelong learning, but there you go. What are you going through, and what do you need? And just those two questions right there could revolutionize the entire world. So give it a try. So the hot seat is open. Jump on in, join me. We're solving your challenges tonight. Whether those challenges are about taking authority for your life, or the differences between authority and responsibility and fault and all those kinds of fun things, or if you have something else you'd like to discuss tonight, I am here to help you. What do you need? So that's my question for you tonight. What are you going through, and what do you need? What a perfect lead up. So the hot seat is open. We're recording live on Wisdom. If you're listening to this on recording, make sure you click the link in the show notes, follow me on Wisdom, and you can join me live anytime too, because I'm here to help you. They're like free 15-minute mini sessions with Guru Catherine. So click the button to join in. I want to hear about what you're going through right now, what you need, any kind of situation that you could use perspective on, any kind of situation that you could use encouragement on. What's going on in your world? And while we wait for somebody to jump in the hot seat for a 15-minute session with me live, we'll talk a little bit more about this taking authority for your life. And so let's go back to where we were. We were talking about the difference between authority, responsibility, and fault. And look at how you feel when you use that word responsibility. It feels like we've rolled fault into that whole word. And so to separate that out, we were talking about how fault is about looking backwards in time. It's looking into the past. How did this happen? How did it come to be? Whose fault is it, right? We want to blame somebody. That's looking backwards. And sometimes it's helpful to do that, what's called a hot wash on a situation. I ended up in a bad situation. Okay, I need to examine that for a little bit and figure out how I ended up there so that I can make sure I don't end up there again. Good. That's an excellent exercise. But as we do that, we can tend to assign fault sometimes to ourselves, sometimes to others. And the reality is, here we are in this present moment. And in the present moment, that's responsibility. Responsibility is about right now. So at this moment, whether you created that situation for yourself, or whether you didn't. Here it is, your situation right now. You are responsible. It is yours. Authority is a much better word because authority is about the future. Authority is about you deciding that in the future, here's how it's gonna be. In the future, I'm in charge of what happens in my life, and this is the choice that I'm going to make. And so that's why I like taking authority for your life. So you have to do a little of everything, right? You have to kind of look back and go, what are the situations that I don't ever want to be in again? And kind of catalog them and then decide, okay, what can I do to keep myself out of those types of bad situations so that I'm not in them again? This is good. This is a good exercise and a good exercise to do. But notice how you're going from fault to responsibility to authority when you do that. So you're starting in responsibility. Okay, here I am in this, knowing that this thing happened in the past, I choose for it not to happen in the future. That's authority. And I'm going to decide some rules for myself for some things I'm going to do different so that I don't end up in that situation again, right? And authority, really taking authority for your life, taking authority for how you're going to operate in the future, does not mean that you never make mistakes in the future because you're still human. You have not yet ascended to the angels. So mistakes will still be made. Sometimes small mistakes, sometimes big mistakes. Hopefully, over time, our mistakes get smaller less intense, fewer and farther between. But it's still, you have authority. And once you really have authority, you're saying, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge of this life. And I'm going to make choices for myself. And many people avoid that authority. Because if you take authority, you definitely are responsible, aren't you? If you are the head honcho of your life, you are the CEO of your life, then you're definitely responsible for what happens. And so that's okay. Because then when mistakes happen, you can say, oh, I screwed up. Okay, I'm going to fix it. And then in the future, again, looking forward, authority. Here's what I'm going to do different. And sometimes we can fall into these patterns of blaming everybody else for our what we call our problems or our challenges, whatever that may be. The hard lessons we've learned. It's so easy to blame other people, because if you blame other people, then you don't have to look in the mirror. And that can be really the hardest part. The reality is we all make mistakes. But as one of my teachers once said, they're just mistakes. It's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. This is how we learn. Eckhart Tolle said, life is set up to challenge. Life is set up for things to go wrong, because that's how you learn. If you never made a mistake, if you never did anything wrong, you wouldn't learn anything. So when something goes wrong, you can try to say, good, excellent, I'm learning. And then carry that lesson forward. And that's what authority is, carrying the lesson forward in your life. So the hot seat is open. Click the button and join me. I want to hear about what challenges you are enjoying or not enjoying right now in your life. What you need. I want to walk you through some of these stages of your psyche as you handle your challenges. If I can offer some perspective, if I can offer simply some peace and some joy for you on your what to do tonight. So the hot seat is open. Click the button and join me. I want to hear what's going on in your world and how I can help. So I had a good mentor. I'll tell this story while we're waiting for somebody to pop in to the hot seat tonight for a 15-minute mini session with me. One of my dearest friends, who is a great mentor, who is now a guide for me on the other side, I was going through a really, really challenging time. I was making all manner of really bad choices. And I'm you know, sitting with him and lamenting, oh, woe is me, all these bad situations in my life. And he goes, I want you to do something. I want you to get up. And I want you to go to that mirror over there. And I want you to look into the mirror. And I want you to look into your own eyes. And I thought he was going to say, I want you to see a magnificent woman who can do whatever she wants to do. And that's what I expected him to say. That is not what he said. What he said was, and there I am staring at myself in the mirror. He goes, I want you to take a good hard look at the person causing 99% of all your problems. Ouch. But he was so right. He was so right. And it's true, we tend to be the authors of 99% of our own misery. But we can take authority for that and move forward with it. Now, again, I'm going to say it again because it's so important. That does not mean you will never make a mistake. You'll make plenty of mistakes. You're human. It's what you're here to do. You're here to make mistakes and be challenged by situations and learn, and over time, give of your gifts as a sort of tuition for this school of life. But it can be heavy. And when you're in the middle of these challenges, it's not always obvious. When you're in the middle of a challenge, it's not always easy to step back from it and say, oh, I see, This is a real challenge. Okay, let me see. How do I want to approach this? Right? To have that emotional distance from what you're dealing with in order to gain the perspective you need to deal with it. We can get so drawn in to our situation that we're just entirely running on fear. We're running on, anger, which is really just fear. We're running on all of these negative emotions that we can't even back out of them long enough to look at them from the outside. And that's what gets so difficult when you're in the midst of something. So if you're having a challenge of any kind tonight, and believe me, there are all variety and kinds of challenges in this world. If you're dealing with something today, a situation in your own life, in your own mind, in your professional world, in your relationships, now is your chance to jump in and tell me what's going on. And I'll see if I can offer some perspective, maybe a couple of practical ideas that you can take with you, maybe a little spiritual boost for you this evening. So hot seat is open. Click the button and join me. We've got so many cool people listening. Welcome all. I love everybody's usernames. We are recording live on Wisdom if you are listening to the recording, and I get to see who's listening and all of the very cool people who are out there this evening. So hot seat is open. Click the button and join me if you want to chat and to tell me what's going on in your world. And we will, oh, Naz is back. This is good. This will be fun. Let's get him back on here.
Oh, my dear.
Hello, you're back.
I
Yay.
couldn't leave you. I swear to God, you know, like
I
I my you're getting in the way of my mission. I'm supposed to be welcoming other people.
know. It's my mission to keep everybody as transfixed as I can.
Well, you are winning on that mission for sure.
Excellent. Yeah. So tell me more about, so you've got a lot going on. So you're trying to start up a business. You've got a new baby in the house. You're trying to navigate how this changes your relationship, with your wife and find that connection. You've got a lot going on.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it honestly, that past season was the exit of my childhood. You know, like there was certain character of mine that were still childish, and I had to act out in order to get it out. You know what I mean? Because I was never the rebellious teenager, but you know, I waited until I was old enough and wise enough on how I could fly so close to the limits and know when I could cross them when no one's looking. And you know, so I waited until I was you know, wise enough to be able to leverage that, you know, rebelliousness as much as possible. So I tell
Well,
you, it was
it
fun.
does help to go through your rebellious phase when you're a little older.
Listen,
But it's so much,
drugs,
isn't it?
sex,
You
and
talk,
rock and roll. You know, like
right?
I did it. You know, been there, done that now. And literally all each one of those benchmarks, you know, like I never listened to rock or alternative or indie. You know, basically anything that, you know, forgive my colorism, but anything that white people would consume, I didn't want any part of, right? Because I was, you know, like I was alone, right? I was, you know, a little brown boy in a white suburb, and I was, you know, like I had, you know, I just needed to find to connect with something, you know, because I'm from the Caribbean, right? And I'm not black. I look Indian, but I'm not Indian, right? So I had no community. I had none whatsoever. There were no Caribbean people in Burlington, and there just simply wasn't a lot of non-white people in Burlington either. So, but now, you know, I mean, I only had one song. There was one song, and then I created my own song around that song. Yeah. And after that, you know, I started consuming other, you know, like indie, you know, rebellious kind of stuff, right? So,
yeah.
Do you know Twisted Sister?
Twisted Sister. Oh yeah.
You're not gonna take it.
No.
All right, so.
Oh, that takes me back.
Yeah, you know, and that was the only song from my childhood outside of like Indian music or Caribbean music or, you know, Arabic music, you know. And outside of that, there was just that one song. But don't get me wrong, like I was big into like dance music and stuff. But
yeah,
in terms of, you know, like electronic music, right? So like that was my genre, right? So aside from that one song, you know, and you know, so I created my own chant. This is our fight song. This life is so wrong. We're not gonna take it anymore. Right? It goes into that whole first chorus of we're not gonna take it.
And yeah. Then,
we're gonna fight. No, that's a different song.
Same idea.
We're gonna fight, yeah, because we're right, yeah.
Yeah.
We're free, yeah, you'll see. And then, you know, it goes back into the chorus.
Yeah.
And that was my mantra for a little while. That was helping me get through some rough patches. And then
you
know, things just hyper accelerated from there. And you know.
Well, it does that. Music is such a lift for us all. And I want to ask, what's your startup?
My logo there, NASCOM Enterprises. Mm-hmm. The slogan is everyone deserves a side hustle, and it's a system of need a gig, get a gig, got a gig, and wisdom helps me with my mission so easily because everyone gets to skip the first two and jump to the last, right? Because wisdom itself is a gig all by itself. Anyone who ever wanted to coach anyone for anything, it's done for you with wisdom.
It is. Well, and I love it. And I'll take a moment to gush about it because I really don't get into most social media. Doesn't really fit with how I'm trying to help most people. But when Wisdom found me and they pre-launched and they told me about it, and I'm like, okay, this could be something cool. And then the beta came out and everybody, you know, it's a, you know, small community jumping on.
I'm going to write a song for Deo. She deserves it.
Isn't she
cool?
I can't
give her, you know, anything more than virtual flowers right now, but I can give her a song and I can create a theme song, you know, around wisdom for her because, you know, she brought the light, you know, like daylight come and I want to go home. Yeah.
It is. It's really quite fantastic. And I love how anybody can, you know, anybody can join in with anybody, the way she put it. And if you're not familiar, Deo is the founder of Wisdom and what a fascinating woman. And she put it together. And I got to say, the app technologically works beautifully. She did such a great job, but she called it democratizing wisdom. Anybody can join in and find that bit of wisdom that they need.
When I onboard people into Wisdom, I tell them that this is the most beautiful example of female-centric design, and that's how I introduce it. I don't tell them all the rest of how good it is. You know, just from a design point of view, you know, I want people to come here and see how it's done.
Yeah, so they did a good job. So, you know, back in the day, before I was Guru, I was a technology development nerd. So from that perspective, you know, the app is beautifully clean and capable and just excellent. So I gush about Wisdom all the time.
Yeah. Well, and rightfully so, you know, because there's very few things that deserve it as much as this. You know, like, don't get me wrong. Clubhouse was my university. You know, I didn't finish engineering because it that was something that was imposed on me. And
and it just didn't resonate. So, right? So you can't force yourself into engineering. It's just not possible. It's either you're born an engineer or you're not. And I wasn't, you know. And you know, right, the funny thing is, the associate dean of engineering of the faculty, like the specialty that I wanted to get into, he arranged an appointment with the dean of engineer, dean of computer science, to convince my dad to convince me to change programs, because like, my dad sold me on engineering, and the only vision, the only image that came to mind as a computer scientist was, I kid you not, I imagined a monkey on a typewriter in a basement.
Oh no!
And
oh,
that is
that
all.
That doesn't sound like fun.
Well, that's, like I said, I think my dad asked me, you know, like, my sister and I, my second sister and I, our brains are such that we are not capable. Like, our hard drive doesn't store negative experiences, right? So It's only in this postseason, you know, talking with people like you, are certain memories coming back. And it must have been my dad asking me the question, is that what I want for myself? And the answer is obviously no, right? So nobody could ever convince me otherwise. I used to think that computer scientists were dumb because they only had a 20-hour course week, whereas us engineers were 40-plus. You know, like, it was my ego that my dad sold, not my heart. But my heart was subjugated by my ego,
right? And,
you know, artificial ego that had nothing to do with me. But my ego got programmed, right? So I was a victim of the programming.
Yes.
And it's so funny that as we frame it like this, you know, being a victim of the programming kept me away from becoming a programmer.
But once you saw that,
well,
right?
I went back to college.
Yeah,
and I studied web apps, but at the same time of doing college, I also started a business, and I was working part time. And well, when you overload the boat, it's bound to sink.
Yeah. Well, and that can be hard when there's so many exciting things to do, right? So many things, you want to do this, you want to do that, you know, trying to do all the things and finding that limit. But those limits change, right? Some days, some weeks, some months, some years, you have more energy than others. You can pile more on than others.
The sad reality, it doesn't matter how ADD you are, you know, you can only focus your attention on one thing at a time. The superpower of ADD is that we can switch fast, right? So, you know, we can change gears faster than we can change gears as fast as a mom, right? So that mommy power that people talk about is that, you know, they are able to switch gears from being a feeding mom to a cook to, you know, a post lady to, you know, to everything, you know, in the blink of an eye, right? They can turn, you know, they can turn faster than, you know, like they're on some kind of magnetic swivel.
That was a nerdy reference, but a good one. That's fantastic. Yeah, sure. You talk about, you know, mommy multitasking. I think moms do that because they have to. If they want to get everything done, you know, when I started my first business when my second child was just born, and I was a professor at the time, and I started a business on the side. In fact, I think I might have even started it maybe a month or two right before he was born, and so he would be a newborn, and I'd be working on my business and doing my professor stuff, and but everything I did in the whole world was done in 15-minute increments in between something I had to do for him, you know, feed him, change a diaper, whatever, you know, chase him to the room because he just picked up the wrong thing, you know, he's about to put it in his mouth or whatever. And so all I had were these 15-minute increments to do anything. Anything from, you know, working on a business to preparing lectures for the university or whatever. And I learned to work that way. If I've got 15 minutes, I can change the world in 15 minutes. I wonder if that's why I set my my timers here on 15 minutes. That's funny. There's my own programming. So in our last couple minutes, what else can I do for you?
You know what? You've done more than enough. You know, like, I need to be around adults right now. And because I've identified the fact that most people are just children that have been around for decades. You know, yes. I'm not talking about children who are still children, but there's so many people that think that they've exited childhood and they're still holding on to drama. They may have let go of childish things, but so long as you hold on to trauma and you haven't learned from it and haven't changed that trauma into a teachable moment, then you still have a lot of growing up to do. So I'm not saying that.
What a fantastic point. It's a process, right? It's lifelong. We're never done, right? We're never done with experiences. This is why monks isolate themselves, right? To try to get away from all this continual life piling new experiences and, you know, some enjoyable and some that really suck. It just brings you experiences all the time. But if we don't isolate, then we have to process it. But you make a good point. Everything, and I'm elaborating on your point, I want to add to that. Everything is a gift. Every experience, no matter how traumatic it seems, somehow it's a gift. And you just got to figure out how, what the gift is.
Yeah. And the guy that I was last week could not find a silver lining in anything, you know.
Right.
And that was part of my go-to, you know, like I was that guy, you know, and because I couldn't show up as that.
Oh, and there went our timer again. So we're still getting used to the timers on Wisdom, but I kind of dig them. So let's wrap that up because it's a thank you for joining me again, Nez. He says it so beautifully. The guy I was last week, you know, was wrapped up in it. And so to turn that corner, and that's another, so I'm going to take that. There's two points here, man, so many points we can make from it. We wrap up this episode tonight is that one, everything you're going through, I don't care what it is. I don't care how unenjoyable, incredibly unpleasant, painful, traumatic. Yes. Yes, it is, but it's a gift. And if you can look at it that way, you can find the gift in what you are experiencing, in the challenge that you're going through or that you went through. And then take the gift forward and leave everything else in the past. And building on what Nez just said, he was a different person last week. So were you. So were you at that point before whatever you were experiencing now. And so that's one way that we can help to look at our experiences and look at what we're going through and say to ourselves, so that you don't get too down on yourself about things that happened in your past, you are not that person anymore. It's not in the sense of a psychological disassociation, but in the sense of you learned from that. Those experiences fundamentally changed you, and you are not the same person. You would approach that situation differently now if you came across the same situation. You would make different choices, right? And therefore, you're not the same person because it has changed how you would operate. And so taking those lessons, taking those gifts, and I'll leave this little extra bit for everybody tonight because there's a lot of folks working that I've been hearing recently, working on themselves in terms of how they relate to their partners, to their children, to their loved ones, to the people that they seek those compassionate relationships with. You can express love for anyone, even for a coworker, without getting weird, being like, I love you, right? But for a coworker, even for, but for your children, for your spouse, for your parents, love is just a combination of three things: joy, awe, and gratitude. So this is your homework. Think of someone whom you want to express love for. It could be your bestie. It could be your spouse. It could be a parent. And the next time you have an opportunity to interact with them, I want you to express some joy. It's so great to see you. Express some awe. You are so good at whatever. And express gratitude. Thank you for this beautiful dinner. It could be so simple. Joy, awe, and gratitude. And that's how you can express love. So we have one more guest tonight. Let's get him in the hot seat and see what's going on in your world.
Oh my
Brian,
God,
welcome.
In a hot seat. What does that mean?
You're in the hot seat.
What's up?
Thank you for joining me. So
hey, no problem.
This is I love recording on Wisdom. And for those listening to the recording after the fact, we're recording live in Wisdom.
Oh,
I gotta
wow.
tell you.
Oh my God, pressure's on.
A heck of a party. I know, right? So what's going on in your world?
Well, I just was kind of swiping. I saw you. You call yourself a guru, Guru Catherine. So I'm like, oh, and the seat was empty next to you. So I figured I'd come over and, you know, just sit down and chit chat with you. Nice.
Fantastic.
Nice topic, taking authority for your life. That's interesting. What does that mean exactly, taking authority? I have music playing in the background.
Well,
I don't know if you can hear that.
I can.
Like DJ, you know, put it
I can. It's like late night radio.
Yeah.
That used to be a thing. Is that even a thing anymore?
I don't know.
God, I don't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I put this one out here because I like to discuss a topic and then open up the guest spot for whatever people want to talk about. But authority, I like the word authority, because when people say taking responsibility for your life, we think that responsibility means fault or blame.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't. So fault and blame are focusing on the past. And responsibility is focusing on the present. This is your situation to deal with, whatever that is. Whether you caused it or not, here it is, and you get to deal with it. And authority, though, authority is about the future.
I like
authority
that.
Is about what are you going to do next? Now, then what?
Hmm. I thought
and having
I was,
the authority to make your own choices about that.
Yeah, I thought when like scrolling through, the first thing that came to my mind was just reminded me the power to say no. Because in my life,
yes.
I'm a yes person, right? I used to be a yes person, at least. And that caused a lot of resentment for me. So authority for me is to say no if I don't want to do that, or no, that's not a great project, or no, don't go there. So to me, taking control of my life, taking authority in a totally different definition than what you mean here, is to the power to say no. So that's something that I thought of when I was kind of scrolling through, and I think that's a cool topic too.
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. Right. So because to have the authority means that you make the choices. Right. And to
exactly.
decide what to do also means you're deciding what not to do. And so many people, and especially when I work with young people, and it's funny. So I am an actual, for everybody out there, I am an actual guru in the traditional
Yay.
Sense. It's kind of fun, and it's a long story, and it's actually your students that decide that you are in my lineage, and that was a fascinating time. But so I counsel a lot of people, and especially when people are young or when they're beginning a new career, even if they're older, but it's a new career, they tend to do that. They say yes to too many things. They mm-hmm. they're trying to get going in a new career, or they're young and they're trying to just sort of make a name and all the things, you know. And so they tend to say yes to everything. And people even tell them, say yes to everything. And I suppose when if you're young and you're broke and you're hustling, then yeah, okay. Say yes to a lot of things as long as they're not detrimental. But as we get older, we can hopefully move ourselves into a spot where we can start to say no to some things. But yes. But it always begins with no to those. Oh my gosh, I worked with a student just today who had to work on some family boundaries of no, on some even personal boundaries of no, right? To force ourselves to be good to ourselves, to say, no, I'm going to be good to me.
That's right.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sabotage myself. I'm not going to, you know, these kinds of things. And so saying no. So what have you found are some of the best things you've said no to that you're so glad you said no to?
Oh my goodness. So let me say this. So I was on this app. This is my third day on this app, and I absolutely love it because it's so intimate. You have no idea who's going to come up and talk to you. You have no idea who's in your audience. It's just willy-nilly talking to people. So I had this girl called Sapphire. She was from London. I'll never forget it. And I had the clock set at 10 minutes. I'm like, okay. And as soon as she came up, she started to complain. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know about this app. How do I, you know, I don't want to listen to someone complaining. If this ever happens and I want to stay on topic, how do I delete this person? So anyway, I had to listen to her rant rave about the place that she worked at, and her boss wasn't kind to her, and they were really treating her badly. They were, you know, close to assaulting her verbally and physically. So I said to myself, yeah, very rude. And I'm like, why are you taking this, Sapphire? You are so much more than this. I listened and I basically said, and I was kind of blunt maybe, and kind of like, I don't know if I came across as a jerk, but I said, why don't you just quit? It's not even worth your breath to complain. It's not even worth your time to complain. Just quit. And that would send the message that you're not going to take it, that you're not a doormat, that you're not going to be stepped on, that you're not going to be treated like that. I hardly even know you, but I know just by being on this app and by the way you speak that you are way more worth. You have more worth than what you were treated like. So I told someone to say no, and I'm not quite sure how it transpired over the weekend, but I'm going to find out tomorrow because she's been emailing me and like texting me and saying, I've become so much stronger since I talked to you. I'm like, I'm not a guru at all. I'm not even into this.
You don't have to be.
I mean, maybe this app is bringing something out of me. I don't know. But say no to crap like that, right? Just say no to stuff like that when people treat you that way. I mean, life is short. I have two parents that have passed away very quickly. And I realize, this was a while ago. I mean, and you realize that life is too short to take people's crap. Right. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's too short to just, you know, wallow around in mud, basically. Just let it go. Let it off your back. Walk away. Move on. Find out what you want. Say no. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, I'm being a jerk by saying it's really that simple, but in some instances, it's probably not. So hopefully that answered your question at least a little bit. Are you still there, Catherine? Or did you disappear on me?
I'm still here.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I think we're still. Okay, there we go. Okay, cool. Yeah. I don't know. The app might have gotten momentarily muted there. Anyway, it's the most profound and important things in life tend to be simple and yet not always easy, right?
Yeah,
get out of debt. Simple. But sometimes very hard. Saying no to things, standing up for yourself, simple, not always easy. It takes practice, right? The more you do it, right? It's a skill. So the more you do it, the more, you know, you get comfortable with it and the more you feel good and empowered, which is why she's excited and she's emailing you like, I did, you know. And it's funny, you know, you don't have to be a guru.
Oh, we lost you again. Must be your phone. You must be on data. You're probably walking around and the app's not picking you up. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. So you asked me a question about what did I say no to recently? I don't know. Let me think. And hopefully, like, you're still here, so I'm not, like, the host of your
home
here. But you must be, like, floating around or walking around or something.
No, I'm actually sitting. I'm sitting on a meditation cushion in the midst of my ashram.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Sitting in stillness is my favorite place to work.
Yeah,
but
very cool.
But yeah, so what are some of the important things that you've said no to recently?
I have said no. Oh, wow, that's a good question. What have I said no to recently? I don't know. Really, nothing. Just nothing really has been pressing that I've had to say no over. But I've had to, I don't know. Oh, here's one. Here's one today that just happened to me. So I went for a walk with my dog. Okay, went to this really cool park. And there's a crosswalk. And I'm just about to get out of the car. My dog has his leash. And we're about to go on the crosswalk. We're crossing about halfway. And this woman just nonchalant, doesn't even care about us crossing on the crosswalk. And in Massachusetts, it's a law when somebody crosses on a crosswalk, you're supposed to stop, right? And I'm sure it's pretty much like that around the rest of the country.
Sure,
so I was I was just going to go off on this woman. Her windows were down and I said, hello. And she said like, hello, as she was maybe about 10 inches away from my little dog, right? About to run it over. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to let that woman bother me. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this day. I'm going to enjoy the sunshine. I'm going to enjoy the weather. I'm going to enjoy my dog. I'm going to enjoy my time before I go back to work tomorrow. And I'm not going to let that liquid honey, that negative, like, just goo go into my mind and just ruin my day. So I said no to that. I was going to totally go off, but I said no. So that was my no for today. And it didn't bother me. And I was happy. I just was like, I'm not going to let that bother me at all. I'm not going to go off on that. I'm not going to let it ruin my day. So there you go. That's what I said no about. Thanks for bringing that out.
To just sit in your freedom and sit in your ability to have that kind of authority to go, nope, we're not doing that. We're not going to sit in anger. So that's a fantastic example of choosing not to sit in anger. And it's funny. So there's our theme for the day. So we had a guy call in earlier and it was similar. It was last week. He was experiencing some anger and trying to figure out how to handle that, how to work with that. Made some mistakes, learned, and freedom when you do that. That is true freedom. Sometimes we think freedom is the ability to, drive around. I spent a year living in a tour bus because I thought that would be freedom. And it wasn't. It's when you, that authority inside your own mind is freedom. And so there you go. Authority is the root of all freedom.
Good
Interesting.
Stuff. Good stuff. I'm going to follow you and I'm going to play a good song.
There we go.
Freedom. You know what I'm saying? All right. I'm out of here. You got your dose of Brian. You got your dose of Brian today. But nice meeting you. I will follow you and hopefully we can talk again. I'm just going to leave because I have a barking dog in the background. But anyway.
Well, talk to you later. Enjoy your puppy. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Bye.
Bye. So much fun. This is why I love wisdom. If you're listening to this on recording, we are recording all our podcasts live in wisdom now. So make sure you click the link in the show notes and follow me here. So, when I go live, I do it at kind of random days, kind of random times, just to be able to try to be available at different days and times for everybody. But this has been so much fun. Thank you. Thank you everyone who has been joining me today, and we've got to wrap it up. But as always, I'm wishing you Purna Asati, complete connection. And we will see you next time.